I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood podcast episode number 512. Westworld takes virtual reality gaming to the extreme. This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good.
That's good. I've had sush. Real good sush. Because I'm on a hard sush kick right now.
Just don't eat too much. You don't want to get mercury poisoning. Just be mindful of your fish.
No, it's... Dude, it's salmon and tuna. Like, that's my sush world.
I had this Philadelphia roll where I was at, though. Like, smoked salmon, cream cheese, scallions.
See, I don't do the scallion. There's a place that does what they call a Boston maki, which is salmon, cream cheese, and avocado. I don't know how that's Boston, but I'll take it. Because that is delicious. I don't know how that's Boston either, but...
I mean, if the avocado is spelled with an A-H, avocado...
Yeah, if it's avocado, then I guess. I don't care. It's delicious. Put it in my face. My raw fish sush is basically tuna and salmon. Tuna or salmon. Tuna and salmon. And, like, cream cheese and avocado.
That's it.
And maybe some Tobiko. Like, that's... My range.
You should have some tamago.
What's that?
Tamago.
Don't know what it is.
It's egg. It's sweet egg. It's delicious. So you know how in anime is when the
bezo box opens up. Oh, is it the folded fluffy egg thing?
Yeah, it's egg.
Oh, okay.
It's egg. And you know, I am not crazy about egg. You know, after the gastric bypass and having to live on eggs for like 4 months, fuck eggs generally.
Right.
But these eggs, it's good. And I'm like, all right. Every once in a while, when I want eggs, I get tomago.
All right. So I'm gonna try that. But yeah. So heavy on the sush kick, like 2 to 3 times a week now at this point.
Damn, son. That's a lot.
Well, I've been trying to find like the good places. Like this place that I went the other night, they have like the most buttery salmon I've ever had in my life.
And salmon that isn't actually poached in butter,
right?
Like it's just raw salmon.
Yeah, but it just like tastes so buttery good.
Okay.
It's like heaven hits your taste buds. So I just wish it was closer to my house because it's not, but it's worth the trip. So beautiful. But anyway, enough about sushi. I'm really starting to get, like, in the mode of, like, eating sushi while I'm watching anime or, like, Korean dramas. It's just, like, I like, desperately start craving sushi and ramen while I'm watching those things. And I'm just, like, in the back of my head, I'm like, am I appropriating this culture right now or do I just really like ramen? And I'm like, I think I just really like ramen. And I just really like ramen more when I see other people eating it. Because there's not, like, an anime that I watch that doesn't have some kind of bento box thing going on at lunch or, like, ramen cooking thing going on. And the same thing with, like, dramas. So I'm just, like, addicted right now to sushi and ramen. But I own my addiction, so that's okay. But we're not going to talk about sushi this podcast. It's not what it's all about.
No, because this is the Westworld podcast.
This is the episode where we do nothing but talk about Westworld. So I want to get out like all the other stuff before we get to the actual Westworld thing. Next week, we'll talk about great stuff to get the geeks in your life or yourself because, you know, self-care is important for the holidays and some of the deals that you can find and things like that. One thing I can tell you I'll be recommending is Astro headsets. What? Trendy surprise. Especially because the new A50s, though. Enough about that. I'm going to sip my coffee, and then we're going to jump in talking about Westworld. Hey, Panda, you been playing any fun new games yet this week?
Way, 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 way back in the Esh archives. I believe I was obsessed with Civ Revolution. I want to say there was at least three or four shows that I talked ad nauseum about me trying to achieve all the Chivos in Civ Revolution. I knew that there was some other type of game associated with the Civ, but I didn't care then to look into it. And the fiance actually is really big into the Civ games. And he's like, yeah, there's several computer games for Civ. There's some board games of the card game. There's a card game of the board game. And then there's all the video games.
Yeah, Civ is a huge civilization. So just to be clear for those who don't live the life, she's talking about the huge Civilization series, Sid Meier's Civilization series. And yes, there are tons of Civilization games.
So the fiance,
I'm trying real hard not to jump into Six. I'm trying real hard. Because I'll have no life.
Because he got Six, and literally he spent for his new job. He didn't go to bed at all. So his first week he was completely drained because he just was so. It's very addicting if you happen to like the format of the game. And I was like, this is kind of reminding me of Civ Rev, except a little bit boring. And he's like, well, that's because Civ Revolution is watered down crap. And I was like,
Civ Revolution is a much boiled down, watered down version of the game. And it's really designed to be, I think, the intro to Civ, kind of like, you know, if you were taking it as a college course, it would be like the prerequisite before you could get into real Civ. You'd have to take Civ 101, which is what Revolution is, because it is. It is hyper watered down. Like, you can get through a whole game and dominate the world, exactly, in, I would say, like, less than 2 hours.
I'd say my best run was an hour and 47 minutes, but that was critical pathing, going after every wonder that I had the ability to make and try. Till this day, I still have not mastered a victory getting to space first before somebody else. Somebody always beats me to fucking get into space. Always. It's usually Gandhi. But anyway, I digress. Mm-hmm. But the fiance thought it'd be an interesting happenstance if we went back. And he found a DOS version of Civ 1.
Oh, Lord.
And And he's like, let's get our feet wet with this, because you really shouldn't jump into Six if you've never actually played like a full-fledged Civ, which I haven't. So I was like, okay. So I played as the Egyptians, and my capital was Fart. All of my cities had something to do with butts, poop, vaginas, because I'm an adult.
Right.
My next city was like Fagine or Faces, because I had a very Egyptian theme to my.
Oh poop. My god.
I was very happy. And for a while there, I was kicking butt. My people loved me. They kept wanting to, like, upgrade my palace, which for a while there, because I didn't realize, like, you can upgrade, like, the ground and then, like, shrubs next to it. And then, so for a while there, I just had a really beautiful walkway and then a hovel. So I was very modest about it for a while. Very interesting game. Going backwards from Civ Rev, like, and I was still really into it. I was like, yeah, let's build a granary over here. Let's get some sailboats over here. Let's explore up here. Let's kill these guys and take this place. You know, and I'm like, all right, I can see how this game could be addicting. We're actually going to jump into Civ 4 next, and then we'll get into 6. Because I kind of wanted to jump straight into 6, but he's like, it might be a little too much for you, because there's a lot going on in
there. There's a lot. It's much, much deeper, and you really do need to be much more strategic in your thinking. And I would say any Civ game after 3 than you would in Revolution. So I agree with him. I think you should jump into Civ 4 first, because in all honesty, knowing your temperament, and I know you like to get them all, I feel like you will become very frustrated with the game very quickly, because to get them all, game for you.
Civ 1 was not, my experience with that was not necessarily short. I'd say it's probably a mid-level run. I was able to wipe out the French, and the Zulus took out Germany.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, Russia and America teamed up against me. And I don't know why, because I had peace treaties with both of them for a while. But they were just like, well, we want to get rid of you. Fuck you. And they both kind of came at me, both angles, and kind of took took me out. But I think I handled it quite well.
Yeah. Oh, no, don't get me wrong. I think that you'll enjoy it. But it's going to be a long game for you because I know how you like to play.
I mean, the great thing about Civ Revolution was, like, I did not necessarily have to engage in war. It was just about who got to their victory, like, who got to space or who got the Nobel Peace Prize or who developed the... So, like, you had a race to greatness as opposed to, you know, you could, you know, adventure out and take over everyone and have, like, the biggest military or whatever. But that was never my objective when I played Civ Revolution. So, I mean, this way, this is the whole part of the game that I didn't have to do in Civ Rev that I was like, man, if I had known this, I could have just taken out Gandhi before he got to fucking space.
Yep.
And then I could get the space and then I'd win.
Yeah, I don't think I ever got the space exploration win in Revolution.
I couldn't. I tried everything.
I did economic.
I put all my time into science and it still didn't work.
Yeah, I did an economic win. I did just a blatant, yep. I took over pretty much everybody else's empire win. But I don't know that I got a space exploration one first. I might, no.
I shot nukes.
I got nukes.
I had nukes. Got the nukes and I was like, don't fucking mess with me because right now I'm the only one who's got nukes.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I'm gonna
fire. If you use them, everybody freaks the fuck out, which is hysterical.
Oh, yeah.
To me.
Yes, they do. But it was great.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I think the only other experience that we've had with games here is the fiance got through the campaign of Infinite Warfare.
Mm-hmm.
I think the story was very, I liked it. I don't want to say it felt original to me because, I mean, we've had the whole story of, you know, people being weird about technology and sentience and, you know, them eventually taking us over, blah, blah, blah. And, like, I thought they were setting us up for that, like, with Ethan and how people were like, you know, I don't fucking like robots and blah, and then people slightly warming up. But then, spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't played it, at one point, Ethan eventually becomes, like, the head robot of, like, a giant robot army. I was like, oh, no. I'm like, so you finally get rid of Kit for a while. Well, for the rest of the game. And you're like, oh, man, this game's totally done. And then, you know, Ethan inherits this army. I'm like, oh, no. Please don't let, like, something go wrong in his code. And now we have to take out this robot army. And Ethan's the bad guy. It didn't happen, but they totally had me thinking for a minute. Because, like, I kept asking the fiancé. I'm like, they keep bringing up that, you know, people don't really like these robot things. And you're roaming around with this robot. And you're, like, bonding with him. You nearly died once. And he, like, put you in, like... a metal cocoon man hug that happened to save your life. Like, you both were facing mortality, even though Ethan's not human, so mortality for him is kind of not the same thing. Kind of like what happened in AI at the end with Teddy shutting himself down. But, like, you know, yeah. Yeah. But I liked it, and it was absolutely beautiful. Like, beautiful to look at. The story, I was down for the story. And Kit Harington always makes things better, even when he doesn't know.
Kit Harington does make stories better. This is true.
He was good. Like, he was actually a really good bad guy.
He's a good bad guy.
I bought into him very easily.
So, you know, we had done an episode a little while ago, and where I think it was like two episodes ago, where I was talking about my intro to the game, not completing it, but. I have completed the campaign story as well in Infinite Warfare. And I'll be honest with you, it was probably the most enjoyable COD game that I played in the last few years. And it did feel the least Call of Duty to me. It just felt like a solid shooter adventure between the space jumping and tactically doing the right upgrades and getting the right loadouts for me and going after the right... people. I like the breakup between space fights and the anti-gravity fights versus the what you do on land. It felt like a diverse game as opposed to, all right, here's your level, here's your gun, shoot everything that walks in front of you. Okay, now here's your level, here's your gun, shoot everything in front of you. Okay. Even though at its core, that's what it was, but it just felt like the best kind of guided story. And I think they learned a lot with Advanced Warfare 3, bringing in good talent, a good story, and characters that you do kind of align with. Like, I loved Ethan. And it's been a while since I've had a character in a COD game that I could, one, name that character and say that I love that character since, you know, probably Modern Warfare 3. So I think that they did a really good job, and I think that if you yourself have not played through the game, Panda, I would highly recommend that you do. I think that you would like it as well. Plus, you're a better sniper than I am. So I think that you'll enjoy the sniper.
Thanks, bro.
I think that you'll enjoy
the... I do try.
The snipe games more. I will say that I have not played anything new yet. I have two games on deck. One is Watch Dogs 2. The other is Dishonored 2.
Okay.
I'm going to...
Did you get your collectors?
I did. Copy. I did.
Because I saw KBD was flashing his pictures of his.
Yeah,
his collectible one. I was like, oh, that looks sweet.
Yeah, I got mine, and I was hopeful that there'd be a little bit more light today going on so that I could do my unboxing, but I think I'm just going to have to go and get some lights to set up, because I don't think we're going to get a lot of good, bright, sunshiny days moving forward to set up in the little area that I do my unboxings. But I'm going to be doing an unboxing of my collector's edition and then jumping into the game. So hopefully this week I'll be able to jump on that. Those are the games I'm going to be playing like immediately next. And then I might get back into Overwatch just because Sombra sounds kind of cool, the new character that they released.
Yeah, she does.
And she's purple.
I love all the cartoons, like the comics of her. Like there's one with her living with the skull face guy
Reaper, don't know
what his name is. Yeah, Reaper. And it's just like, the Wi-Fi's not working. And she's like in the other room. And she's like, it's your computer. It is not the Wi-Fi. And he's like, I'm unplugging it now. And she's like, what the fuck? And then all of a sudden, it's like Spanglish arguing. And I'm like, it's hilarious.
Yeah, so I might be getting back on the Overwatch tip.
She looks like a great addition.
So if that happens, I may draft you.
Okay. My game's not nearly as polished. I mean, I have to get back on that Widowmaker sniper tip and that May.
Yeah,
that May Widowmaker combo.
You gotta get back on that. Gotta get back on that. I gotta get back on my Mercy tip, because Mercy's pretty much bae for me. But I don't know. Sombra might become bae. So we'll see. We'll see. That's what we got on that game front. So let's dive in, because I want to make sure that we covered a little bit of game for everybody. And let's talk Westworld. All right, guys. Here's the point. Here's the point where if, like, seriously, you haven't watched it and you're thinking about watching it, now is the point in time of the podcast that you stop listening. Because we're pretty much going to run through. I'm going to try really hard not to spoil episode 6 for you, but I'm gonna be honest with you. I might. Just a little. And by a little, okay. I mean like a lot. So if you're not familiar...
I'm only to episode 5, so...
Well, they're only out to 6. 7's going to be on shortly. Well, by the time everybody listens to this podcast,
like
7
said,
will be done.
I just got to 5.
Okay, so I'm going to fuck your Christmas.
Okay.
But here's the thing.
There's only one thing right now that I think could come up that I'd be like... That I kind of had an inkling about, but I don't have enough.
All right, so we'll talk the way up to it. Then you can tell me what you think, and then I will either confirm or deny.
All right, sounds like a plan to me.
Okay.
Let's do it.
So Westworld is a series that's on HBO right now, and the main reason that we're talking about this on this episode, you know, because we primarily talk about video games and tech gadgets and anime and stuff, and it doesn't really fall into that category, except for me, it kind of does, because Westworld is basically a TV show on HBO that is focused around this amusement park, is the best way to describe it. We are off and set in the distant future where robots and technology take care of humans so much, and there's no real conflict or whatnot going on in the world, that people, as an escape, go to these very elaborate parks to experience history, experience conflict, you know, the things that don't exist in the world anymore. And Westworld is one of the more popular and engaging experiences that are out there, because it is basically an amusement park set in the Wild West that is filled with what is called hosts. And hosts are basically robots, they're androids, who look, act, and feel human. In the series, it is supposed to be almost indistinguishable for the guests that come into the park to know right off the bat what is a host and what is a person. And so as a guest in the park, which it is very expensive to go to this park, by the way, they mentioned in one episode that of dropping $40,000 to have that experience. So it's not a cheap thing to do. You definitely have to be well off. You can go and experience the Wild West.
You need some money. You can't just roll up there.
Yeah, you can't just roll up. It's not like going to like a public park and being like, yay, let's play kickball. Okay, it's more like going to Ultra Disney, where you don't even have to worry about fast passes. You just walk up to a ride and you go on it.
It's like, hey, you get to pick out clothes that are specifically tailored to you because we got the money for that. By the way, you could take your time and just fuck this woman that you may or may not know if she's a host or not, but she's down to whatever, regardless. Like, they want you super happy for the money you're paying.
Exactly. There are basically no bounds, and so everything in the park is tech. It's advanced tech. They're constantly expanding it. They have storylines that hosts run, but they can ad lib and follow you around. And so the series focuses on a little bit over a handful of key characters, some which are people and some which are hosts. There is mystery around what is going on actually in the park. And for me, the thing that I love most about Westworld is Sir Anthony Hopkins, isn't it? It's not clear yet.
He is, like, he gives me this Willy Wonka, like, Wilder Gene
Wilder
kind of vibe. Yeah, sorry, did I mix that
up? Yeah, you said
up?
Wilder Gene.
Yeah, I might be dyslexic, but he gives me that kind of vibe, because, like, here he is, this owner, this creator of this world.
Right, he plays Ford, who is the founder and creative director of Westworld.
He clearly is on a level higher than anyone else that he ever talks to. Like, I could see why people in the series, when they have to approach him and have to talk to him, that, like, they have this natural, like, step back in this about it. Because, like, I think in his mind, he's already had this conversation four or five different ways.
Yes.
With the character. So he's already like, I'm done with this. Like, I don't want to have this conversation. Like, he stands completely firm in everything that he says. And that's also very powerful and very kind of intimidating,
and
especially as an onlooker watching the transactions. And, like, he wins every scene that he's in.
And Anthony Hopkins just delivers in his performance as Ford. There's a omniscient aura about him from the moment that you first see him in the series, in every episode that you see. And the quiet, reserved way that he delivers everything just makes you feel even more anxious about it. I think that he is the perfect person to be cast in this role. So Ford, as the director, he is still, in his old age, very, very involved with the direction of Westworld. And the board of the company that is basically footing the bill for all the tech and the park and things like that are very worried about Ford because he is older, and there's much about the host that they don't know and the code that they don't understand. And they're very afraid of, if something were to happen to Ford, or Ford decided to leave them, he would take that knowledge and they wouldn't be able to recreate or, frankly, keep the park working the way it is. So the board has, like, put people into the organization to try and extract this information and get these things out without Ford's knowledge. And unfortunately, they're not able to do it. Ford, when he created Westworld, wasn't alone. He had a partner named Arnold. And Arnold and Ford did not have an agreement on how...
I know, I think there's something up with that. Because that whole, he had an accident. Oopsies. The thing about Westworld is, you know, as guests there, you essentially are on God mode, and you can mess with anything in the world. You can manipulate all of that. You cannot die as
correct.
A guest.
Well,
host can, you can't.
Well, we're going to take a slight step back from that, okay? Hosts cannot harm guests, okay?
Right.
Hosts can harm other hosts, but hosts can't harm guests. That's not to say that a guest can't harm
guest. Can't harm another, right. I mean, I think there's something up with
the
story between four. I mean, you still get shot, even as a guest. Like, when you get shot, you get shot. But you do not, you know, there's no wound. Like, there might be a bruise. But you do not get gutted. And I don't know if I'm just getting more sensitive in my older age. Like, I don't like to see animals getting hurt. So, like, all these ponies that are, I know they're not real ponies. Granted, it's a show, so I know they're actual ponies.
They're actual ponies that are not getting hurt. Okay. Right. And in instances, they're not actual ponies. They're CGI ponies.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, sometimes they play that quick thing on me, and I'm like, there was a real pony there. And now, like, that could be a fake pony, but it looks really like a real pony. Don't kick it. Don't kick it. And I get really worked up. And then, because, you know, granted, you've got a whole bunch of rich guys who are bored and just want to fucking drink.
And women. And
shoot things.
And I did appreciate that one episode where the chick came out and she ended up running around with James Marsden character, Teddy, to go on an adventure. Yeah. And also,
don't even get me started.
Wait, no, we're going to. And then was like, but first, let me go to the whorehouse. And I was like, yeah. Like, I appreciate that it's equal opportunity. And that's one thing I think that I love most.
That host is all like, I'll give you She says it to everybody. I'll give you a discount. It's like, damn.
Yeah. So
giving it away.
I want to talk a little bit about the characters so that we can kind of get through the story now.
Okay. All right. So
Just to put a little structure here. So we already talked about Ford, and Arnold is a non-visible, supposed to be out of the picture character because he died somehow in the park before the park opened,
which is not supposed to be able to happen.
Right.
Ish.
Okay.
Like it's a very fluid concept. Like you're not supposed to be able to die, and he has done the thing you're not supposed to be able to do in the park is die.
And
keep that in mind.
And Arnold, like I said, had a disagreement with Ford about the direction of the park. Like, Arnold actually didn't want to turn the park over to people. He really got to a point where he was focused on creating something different. And it wasn't just an artificial intelligence, but I believe that Arnold really wanted to create artificial consciousness.
Right.
And was on a much deeper...
He was trying to find ways to make things far more human.
Right. And at the time, Ford was very focused on just creating amazing tech and telling amazing stories and was completely okay with the park being turned over and opened and letting people in, where Arnold just wanted to kind of be in a space where he could just have this universe and keep tweaking and working with this.
He could just be a god of his own world.
Correct.
And do whatever he wanted.
But some accident happened. And Arnold died somewhere in the park. Like, Ford alludes to he died somewhere in the park. Doesn't even say where he died. Okay, just that he died in the park.
I mean, how do we know that he's dead? Like, did anyone see him?
We've to this point, not seen an image of Arnold. We haven't heard his voice or anything. And as you start the series, you start it with what I would call, like, the Morning Glory good characters and getting to know them. Because the story, again, because it's set in the Wild West, it's very much the break between good and bad, like good and evil. You've got white hat cowboys
and black hats.
And
why they gotta be black hats?
Guests that come in get to choose which they want to be. So if they just want to be a bad guy and feel what it is to be a bad guy, go around shoot people and things like that, they can do that without the consequence.
Black hat.
If they just want to go to the whorehouse and fuck every hoe in the building, they can do that too. What is interesting to me in that is that each night, host's memories are wiped, so they have no recollection. They just continue their path and rerun their story, their narrative. We're introduced to the character of Dolores, who I would say is kind of your Pollyanna. Like, she's the farmer's daughter, the homesteader's daughter in this case, who is blonde and blue-eyed and has a positive outlook on life and that destiny is awaiting her and beautiful things. And so she is to be the attractive element for, you know, the good guy cowboys. And you want to help her and feel comfortable.
You do want to help her, but you also, because her paths align with Teddy, who we kind of recently lightly talked about. So, like, in that national path, I think they somehow, there was a history with them, or there is going to be another history with them, but...
Well, Teddy's introduced, Teddy is new to Dolores' arc. Okay, Teddy hasn't always been in her story, because Teddy is new-ish to Westworld in the narrative, because he was at a different park, in a different part of the story. So Teddy is new here, but Dolores' narrative...
But they're kind of pathing them together to be kind of like star-crossed lovers, or like... We could get there.
Because I gotta get to the fun part. So you have Dolores, who is this homesteader's daughter, and her initial narrative is that you want to help her because she comes to town, she does some shopping, and when you encounter her, hopefully someone encounters her, you end up taking her home, and when you get to her home is actually being invaded by bad guys, and they're all hosts that kill her parents, and so she can't be violent,
She can mouth off, but she can't pull triggers, she can't hit things.
A different time. Okay, so she's not able to use a gun at one point, or like even do something as simple as harm a fly, because again, hosts are not supposed to be able to harm, let alone kill. And in her narrative, when you bring her home is being rustled, and so if you're with her, it is you to be the hero to keep her safe, possibly save her parents, and then
like if you
y'all
can,
fall in
great,
love.
But if you can't, it right.
Okay, so that's her story, and then it resets. Then you have Maeve, who Maeve is Bay, by the way, and
oh my gosh, Maeve, I love Thandi Newton. Like anytime she shows up in anything, I'm like, yes,
yes, Thandi Newton is the shit.
Thank you.
Thandi is the shit. She is the shit. But she is the madam of the brothel. The thing with her is she is very enterprising. We will come back to her because she's one of the things that sets Westworld on fire.
I'm so surprised with how things are going in the narrative right now, because obviously for this to be grabbing, things have to be going wrong. And obviously things are not operating the way that they normally do, which has caused corporate to kind of come in and be like, figure out what's going on. We got to fix this because of X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, but they're part of what's going on. Anyway, we get through all the people because then we can come back and we can talk about the narrative. Because of the branch, and I want to talk about that. I love the show, by the way. I don't know if you picked up on it. All right, so then you have Bernard, who is played by Jeffrey Wright, who is, I think, probably a national treasure when it comes to acting. And Bernard is the head of programming for Westworld and works to create and bring to life the hosts. Okay.
He was also in the Hunger Games. He was one of the champions who went back in.
Yeah, wasn't he?
He was part of Nuts and Bolts.
Birdie?
Was that he was the one who blew up everybody in his game.
So you have him, and he is basically Ford's right-hand man, but he himself is questioning characters, and you see him later on in the series having these conversations with Dolores that seem very, very off the books and that nobody knows about.
Because they are
trying
to
discover
whether
or not Dolores is evolving and achieving consciousness or could achieve consciousness. And his backstory is very sad because his son died. And so at times you see him reliving memories of speaking with his wife, who's played by
Gina Torres.
Which, you know, again, you have me when you put Gina Torres in your series.
Man.
I don't even care if it's in flashbacks. Anthony Hopkins, Thandi Newton, and Gina Torres. Take my money. Just take my money. So then, like we said, we have James Marsden, who's Teddy, who is a gunslinger.
Oh.
And he has a very troubled past that Ford invents for him as you experience the series.
I was about to say it. Because he had a mysterious backstory, which was you had no backstory.
Right.
He didn't care to give you one.
Right. But then Ford finally gives him one.
He is so mean about that, too. Like, Ford is very, I shouldn't say mean, because that's not what it is. He's just very
cold,
straight-laced about it. Like, he doesn't want people on his staff who will develop sympathies towards these artificial beings because they are not human. If you see any semblance of humanity, that is all programming that they have put in there. And, like, because this is one scene, which I know I'm jumping a little bit, but I want to talk about it a little bit. And a guy is working on one of these artificial old guys. And, like, he's doing, like, touch-ups to his face or whatever, but he has, like, a cloth over him. Because most of the times that they have these conversations with these beings, they're, like, naked. Like, all the time.
Because they're not people.
Naked.
They don't have any shame or feeling about that.
Right.
So they're just flat out fucking naked while they're getting worked on. So,
or like, hey, let's have a conversation. Well, there's your boobs.
Right. That's
there's
one
your,
thing I give.
Your
I give.
I saw like 8 peckers. I saw 8 of them. I counted.
This is what I'm saying. Like, the boob to pecker ratio in Westworld, like, it's equal.
Well, you didn't tell me they were going to be in the same scene. So I was like, oh, like, he's having a conversation with her. There's her titties. Oh, they have a conversation with that guy. There's his pecker. Oh, there's some bums. Bums, bums, bums.
Lots of bums.
By the way, this big meaningful conversation is happening, but all I can focus on is ass and titties. But anyway.
So then you have, I think, probably my not favorite, but most interesting characters. You have Logan and you have William. And they come to the park. And William
is... And Logan's a cunt bag. I hate him.
Logan is in fact, just
an asshole.
Just an asshole. Always the man in black. He will shoot random people just because he can. He mostly likes to spend time in the brothel.
Like, in your group of friends, you know that guy? Like,
yeah.
In your group, like,
Logan's that guy.
You're like, oh, it's that guy.
And William...
I hate him.
William, when you meet him, is the complete opposite. Like, he's a devout guy. He is, you know, the epitome of the cowboy in white. You end up going on a journey with him and Logan and Dolores at one point, which we're going to talk about here in a moment once I get through the last couple of people that are kind of important for the story. You have Lawrence, who basically is an outlaw.
Yes.
But we see him at 2 different times. We'll talk about that.
Oh, man.
He's different.
I feel like Lawrence is, like, right now the show's yo-yo. Because he is just being manipulated. Like, I mean, granted, there's the grand manipulation of the whole West world. But then he's being manipulated within that. And, like, there have just been several times now where I'm just like, this poor thing. Because I can't say guy, because he's not a guy.
Nope,
but, like,
he's a host.
The things he's been subjected to. Like, there have been several times that he has been facing the end of function. Because I can't say mortality because he is not a living thing. And I have to remind myself that. If this was like a person, granted this is an actor who is a person playing a non-person, I'm being very meta about it. But if any real person was going through this type of torture, because this is kind of hedonistic, masochistic torture that's happening to this guy, I would just jump off the side of one of the rocks and call it a day. Like,
true.
Be the master of my end of service. This poor thing.
Then you have the man in black, played by Ed Harris.
Also, oh my god,
amazing actor. And the man in black is like Logan refined.
This guy.
He is like on some next level, like, I don't give a fuck.
It's not even that. I think he plays a stronger head game than physical game. Because obviously he's a veteran. He's come here for 30 years, which he likes to play. Like, everyone he's encountered so far outside of certain characters, like, he's like, don't you remember me? Like, I don't get why he plays the game like that. Because he clearly knows that these beings get purged. He must know that they don't.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that because I'm going to talk with you about that. That's awesome.
Okay. My God, like, the sadistic nature, I was like, fuck. Like, I got cringed.
Yeah. Like,
during that, like, one scene in the first episode, you know.
Yeah. We'll talk about it. And so he is in the park and he is searching for the center of this maze that he is aware of. He gets special clemency within the park to do whatever the hell it is that he wants.
Whatever the fuck he wants.
And I have a theory about that, so we'll talk about that. But he is one of the leading protagonists, like Dolores and like William and like Ford. Those are really kind of the leaders. And then you have, as a subset of protagonists, you have Bernard and Maeve, and you also have Teresa, who Teresa is the operations leader of the park, and she is basically put in place by the board to try and keep Ford in line and also report back to the board. And so as you start getting into the episodes, the story starts revealing where you learn some of the predetermined stories for hosts, like Dolores' stories. You learn about, you know, Maeve's tiny loop of getting people to bang her ladies.
Fuck her.
Or her.
And her.
Mm-hmm. And her, because she's on the table too. And then you start to learn what's going on between the board and Ford. And then you have this secondary thing going on with...
Nice rhyme, bro.
Thank you. Unintentional. And then you learn about what's going on with Bernard having these secret meetings with Dolores to kind of suss out her evolution that is off the clock. When you're introduced to Logan and to William, everybody comes into town the same way. They come in on the train. And when we're introduced to these guys, we actually get to see them stop first in the Westworld offices to get kitted out with their gear before they enter the park.
And they have their last little sexy time if they want to have some sexy time.
If they do. And William can't tell whether or not his assistant is a host or a person. And the woman is like, does it even matter, though? If there's something that you want, you can have it, regardless of those things. And you're just like, I think she's a host. I don't know. But you see them enter the
park.
Here's
the thing. She's down to clown, so it don't matter.
Right.
It don't matter. She's
down to clown. So they enter the park, and Logan is basically chiding William about, you could have gone black and you can change at any point in time that you want and just experience all the things that are in the park. And like, he immediately makes a beeline for a whorehouse and is like, come on. And William's like, no, I don't want to do that. And he meets Dolores and sees her off in a corner, but he goes into a bar and sees the violence that happens with this shootout in the bar. And you know, it really kind of shakes William because he's not that kind of guy. But one of the things that I noticed when he and Logan enter the town versus the first time you see Teddy enter town, and then the second time you see Teddy enter town and you realize that Teddy is a host and not a person, because I thought Teddy was a person at first, the way that they had him enter the town, is when you look at
the conversation that the Men in Black has with Teddy and Dolores in the first episode, they kind of clearly establish that he's not a person.
Right, but I just thought that he was entering the town again. One of the things that I noticed was when you enter the town coming in off the train, they show the sequence for everybody coming in that they focus on in a very specific way. They show a wanted poster going up for a criminal. They show a batch of people trying to recruit people to go on a hunt for somebody. And then you see people crossing in to go into the saloon where the whorehouse is. And then you see Dolores come out of a shop and drop a can and have to go and pick it up. And one of the things that I noticed was when William and Logan came into town, the flyer that they were putting up was for a different bad guy than we had seen before. And it also looked like more sketchy version of the flyer. It didn't seem as finesse as the first one. And when they went over, because I went back and rewatched the first three episodes, like, after the third episode, because I'm like, okay, I've missed some stuff, and obviously I need to go back. And then when they go to the section with the people that are recruiting, when you see Teddy come into town, they are much more sophisticated gunsmiths, it's the sheriff and townsfolks, versus when you see Logan and William come into town, they're Confederate soldiers. So that was the first clue for me that we're looking at two different timelines. So the stuff that is happening with William and Logan is happening earlier than the Men in Black, Teddy, Dolores stuff.
Okay.
So now on top of all of this, we're actually looking at this story from two different points in time. Because Westworld storylines evolve. They change them out as the park gets older. So that was my first clue that we were looking at two different things. Because you don't ever see Teddy at the same time that you see Logan.
That is true.
So is true. I go,
well, here's the thing, though. But at the same time, though, because there is the update and the new narrative that is messing up all the pre-existing narratives that are in Westworld.
And it's a narrative that Ford is controlling, not the board story player,
that's
storyteller
right.
guy.
Which is now utilizing Teddy.
Yep.
In a more involved way.
Yep.
So I mean that could be, and I mean, I think that's why they're structuring it to make it look like they're wagging the dog. Like, we got the tidbit about, you know, Ford introducing this new narrative with this whole Wyatt thing and how Teddy is involved with Wyatt or has had runnings in with this guy who is clearly fucked up. but I don't know if I would fully agree that we are looking at two different times.
So here's how I'm going to fuck with you, and I'm going to prove that it's two different timelines. You ready?
I'm ready.
I'm going to fuck with you right now, okay?
That's okay.
Because it has to evolve with the Man in Black, okay? You said yourself, the Man in Black has been coming to the park for 30 years.
30 years.
Right?
Yes. Because okay. he says it in episode one. Right.
The man in black is granted by people in the park the ability to do whatever he wants. Nobody interferes with them. Like, at one point, the overseers of the park, the security guys, are alerted that somebody's going on, like, a huge killing spree. And we probably need to get him to tone it down. And the lead security guy looks at who it is and says, no, he can do whatever he wants. Let it go. Okay?
Yep. Hold and on that, to that guy fact. Also could use explosives.
Okay.
We have requests.
And that's the man in black. Okay? That's the man in black. Now, hold on to that. Okay? And here's how I'm proving that they're two different timelines. When William and Logan are going on the manhunt that, you know, originally Logan doesn't want to go on, one of the conversations that they're having is that William was brought here along with Logan, you know, because he's getting ready to marry Logan's sister, and their company is evaluating whether or not to invest in Westworld and actually take the park.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes, I remember this conversation.
So they go on this adventure, and have you seen up to the part where the big orgy happens when they meet the guy that runs the gang in,
I have not seen any orgies.
Okay, all right, well, I'm gonna fuck your Christmas, and this is why you don't think it's two separate timelines, but it is. So, the place where Logan and William and Dolores, after Dolores has gone along with the guys, and they're like, they captured, finally, the guy. And he's like, no, if you just take me to this guy's city, who's a well-known big bandit way on the outskirts of Westworld.
Oh, the Easter egg.
Yes.
I saw that, because that's at the end of episode four.
Okay, and he's just like, if you take me here, like, you will be rewarded, like, unbelievably. And so Logan's like, oh, yeah, well, we're going to do this, because that guy is, like, crazy to try and find, and nobody can get to him, and most people don't go this far out in the park, and I want to go. So he shoots the bounty hunter.
Westgiver.
Yep. And decides that they're going to go and travel to that town and meet that person. When they get to that town and they meet that guy, it's Lawrence.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Going by the name of this bandit. So here's why it's two timelines. When the man in black meets Lawrence...
Because how could he be there?
Wait, listen. This is why it's two different times, okay? Because when the man in black meets Lawrence, he's like, oh, it's good to see you, Lawrence. It's been a while.
Right.
The man in black, who's been coming to the park 30 years and has known Lawrence and has seen Lawrence before and keeps saying, why don't you know me? Don't you remember me? When he comes into contact with some hosts, it's because he has been coming to the park for 30 years. He's either Logan or William. That's why he recognizes Lawrence, specifically is seeking out Lawrence at that point in time, because he believes that Lawrence will lead him to something that they were close to before but didn't get to. And the reason why he can do whatever he wants in the park, including using explosives, is because his company is the company that bought Westworld, and he's on the board.
But how is he Logan or William? That part doesn't make any sense with William being a complete newcomer to the world.
Ah, but here's the thing. He's a newcomer to the world at the point in time, 30 years ago, when he first comes to Westworld and experiences it when he's with Logan to evaluate whether or not their company, because he's about to move up in the company when he marries Logan's sister, is going to invest in the park. And if the technology is really worth it.
Okay.
So they're playing with you. They're showing you two timelines at the same time.
In that case, it would strongly make more sense. Because looking at Ed Harris and then looking at Logan and or William, aesthetically, it would make stronger sense that the man in black is William.
Yes.
Not Logan.
Yes.
So what happened between nice white hat? Oh, no.
Exactly.
And that would also explain his weird infatuation with Dolores. Because
right.
Dolores is, like, the only thing that William has even looked at with, like, any type of interest.
Right.
At all.
Right.
Oh, no, no.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
He did bad things to her.
Yes. Because he fell in time because he's been doing her for 30 years.
He's been.
She just doesn't remember.
Well.
Because remember, William's very observant. Like, where Logan's just going in and taking part in everything that's going on in the world, William is always pensively, like, looking at everybody and how they're interacting and what's going on and trying to understand, like, how hosts work.
He's got a stronger appreciation for the narrative and the world, which parallels with the fascination that the Men in Black has with the world, and understand that there's more going on.
Because he's trying to get to the maze and get to the center of the maze, because he believes that there's something at the center of the maze that's going to change the world and blow it all apart.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. I really like William. You know, that makes sense, because that particular actor always plays characters that are, like, two-faced. Like, he always, I think his name's Jimmy. Jimmy Simpson plays William. And, yes, every time I've ever seen him in a movie, he always is, like, that Weasley guy who knows
something. So when you get through episodes 5 and 6... Okay, I think that it'll become more clear, especially because there's an interaction between Ford and the Man in Black. Okay. And it's a very interesting exchange. And Teddy's there too, but Teddy is under and reacts to Ford. So there's two sets of hosts that are going on in Westworld, because like all things, technology involves. There are some hosts that were created by Arnold. And those hosts don't necessarily hold up exactly to the same rules and boundaries that the newer hosts have to follow, like the Clementines of the world.
Okay.
And as an example, like at one point in time, you see after a conversation with Bernard and Dolores, and Bernard asking Dolores, like, would she ever harm a living thing? And she's like, no, there's no reason to. I would never harm a living thing. And then she makes it back to her homestead with the replacement dad bot, because her dad bot malfunctions. And then a fly lands on her face, and you've seen a fly on her face before and in her eye at one point when she was being brought in to be serviced, and she has no reaction. And no host has a reaction, but this particular day, when the fly lands on her face, she slaps it and kills it as if it was nothing and just brushes it away.
She slaps it on her neck.
Right. But she slaps it and kills it and brushes it away. And you're just like, but you just said that you wouldn't kill a living thing. You know the fly is a living thing. You killed the living thing. So that tells you that she is operating outside of that loop. And she's also done something that a host is not supposed to be able to do, which is lie to a person, because she told Bernard that she couldn't do that. And we learn later that Dolores is the oldest host in the park, which means she is definitely an Arnold creation. Did I mention that Bernard is banging Teresa?
Yeah, you did.
He's a park operation person.
See that? Which made me mad, because you saw that happen first. I'm like, oh, all right, well, we don't know what's going on with Bernard. He's clearly here. He did talk about a dead son. Okay. But then you see Gina Torres. I'm like, no, you do not cheat on her.
Well, they're not married anymore.
Sorry.
He and his wife aren't married anymore. It broke their marriage when their son died.
Okay. That's
So Bernard and Teresa are just friends.
Like, no.
Bernard and Teresa are...
Friends that fuck.
I don't know that they're even friends. They're colleagues that bone, is basically.
They're like, hey, look, like, we're both here. We both have needs. I'm going to yell at you because I'm your superior, but then I'm going to come to your flat. We're going to get it on. And then I'm just going to get up ball. Like, she just got up baller status. Like, she was just like, I'm up and out. And he's like, stay, let's talk. I'm like, don't be a bitch. Don't be a bitch.
And she's like, no, I'm going to just go and get some takeout. But
no, she was ready to like just get up and go
Teresa has her own line of things that are going on as well, and those come to light in 5 and 6. So I'm not gonna fuck your Christmas totally. I could fuck your Christmas totally, but you really need to.
I think there's something going on with our friend there.
Which friend? Bernard?
The one who's fucking Teresa. Yes, I think some.
What do you think? What do you think? Because I did say I would confirm or deny. Okay. So what do you think?
Here's my thing. So here we have the head of, you know, he's not Q&A, but he's like the
he's the program head. So like the creator of people.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, and here he is talking to Ford, who has his own pretty determinate set of thoughts about these entities.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like Bernard has his own, which is why he's having these conversations with Dolores mm-hmm. that he's keeping under wraps because, I mean, she's constantly asking him if this is wrong, and he does not clearly say yes or no
right.
to her.
Mm-hmm.
But you can definitely tell that he is battling with the ethics of what he is doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's just like, and so like.
What do you think? What do you think? Say it. Say
like,
it.
I just.
Say it.
I don't think he's real. I don't know if, like, maybe, and I mean, like, this maze thing, because, like, he is now at the point that I've watched it. He has mentioned the maze to mm-hmm. Dolores.
Yep.
Because of Dolores' evolution.
Yep.
And what I think is, and this is just speculation because I don't know,
mm-hmm.
that if she manages to get to the maze, because that's the, kind of the big thing is you got to get to it first to then go into it and compete, because it's kind of a game.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, you know, if you can get to the center of this, you can become real. And I'm wondering if that's what he did. And that's why he's got the knowledge of that. Mm-hmm. And because she is showing off these thoughts of change and evolution,
mm-hmm.
that maybe she can follow the same path mm-hmm. and become real.
Mm-hmm.
Because why else would he bring this up? Like, because he recognizes his own kind. And maybe if he sees that some of them have the potentials that have led him to where he is, that like the Underground Railroad sort of, he'd be like, yo. Like, there's this place you might want to go.
So do you remember how there was an episode where, and I think it was Bernard,
so
who was curious, because of the ticks that happen where some robots, some of the hosts start going off their programming, and
when the reveries are messing yes, with their core codes.
Which are these extra affectations that Ford has introduced in an update to the system, and it's only affecting certain hosts. And because they cannot be corrected and those hosts then go dramatically off their programming, they're put into cold storage, which basically they're stripped down, their memories are wiped, and they are then forced to
and they, like,
stand.
Lobotomize them, too. Like,
yes.
They just go straight up the nose.
That's how memories are wiped. They are basically lobotomized. And then they're walked down to cold storage, which is this damp, like, cold level that's just all concrete, and they're forced to stand.
And then the magical words are said, and then they assume their position,
their standing position, and they just stay there for basically eternity. Like, we never see them again. We don't know what's going on there, but basically they are beyond repair.
It broke my heart to see.
I know her dad go. It was so sad.
Oh my gosh,
it was so sad.
It hurt me to, like, see the startup with her coming down. Oh, Dad, did you, like, and, like, it wasn't him. And I was like, no.
That's not your daddy. And then she had the dream where she saw her dad and that wasn't her dad. Because some hosts experience dreams. And those dreams are basically, it's written off in the series that, you know, sometimes the technicians don't completely wipe memories all the way that they should. There are remnants.
Well, here's the thing: they have semblance of dreams, but mostly nightmares. Just in case someone doesn't do a thorough enough job and they happen to recall something,
right?
But they chalk it up to bad dreams.
Except for Maeve, who is Bay, who chalks it up to being something else. And during a session,
man,
where she is supposed to be repaired, wakes herself up,
cleaned out from all the semen that was put in her.
Wakes herself up. And is now going on her own personal journey to be more than the sum of her parts. I love Maeve. But basically, so to your point, to your thing, Panda, remember that at one point in time when the reverie stuff was going on, it was believed that it was possible that the reveries especially were affecting some of the older hosts. And so I can't remember if it was Bernard or if it was Teresa or somebody, or even Bernard's second in command, Ashley, who wanted to know how many of the original Arnold hosts were still active in the park. And remember, the answer to that was 12. It didn't identify who they were. It just said that there were 12, active Arnold hosts in the park. We know that Dolores is one. Because she's the oldest host. She was the first successful host. So you know that Dolores is one, but we don't know who the other ones are. I think that we have already been introduced to them. Lawrence is one.
I think Lawrence is one. Yep.
Maeve is one.
Yep. Because she's having weird dreams of, like, a totally other
storyline that she was like, involved in when she was a mom and like, not a hoe.
When she got, and got scalped and, like, was saved. But then the man in black showed up and then wanted to fuck that shit over. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
And so I think so far those are the Arnold hosts that we've been.
Are kind of confirmed.
Introduced to.
Yeah, I have my sneaking suspicions about Bernard, only because one, like, they're trying to throw me off with, you know, him having a wife, because, you know, if he were an artificial being, he couldn't have kids. But if that's semblance, then that could just be a story in his
that from he was
a
given
previous bill.
Just like
that's right.
Finally, Teddy was given a backstory simply by Ford supposedly whispering in his ear. And then the whole Wyatt thing shows up as a thing.
So, I mean, and then the whole conversation that Ford had with Teresa. And she's like, I hope you're going to be very careful with, because, like, he's got this weird, not parental, but he's always kind of, you know, he's not as viciously cold to Bernard as he is to anyone else that he encounters. Like, the other writer, like, when he was, like, showing off a new storyline, he was like, no, that sucks. That sucks. Your mom sucks.
Yeah, pretty much. So I think that Hector, you know, the bandit comes into town, I think that he is one. And your sneaking suspicion is not a sneaking suspicion. It is revealed that Bernard is.
Oh, so we're going to see that?
Yep.
Okay. It was just, something made me sit there. I'm like, you know what? I'm like, he's really into this. And at first I was like, maybe it's Ford, but I'm like, no, that'd be way too easy. But it's got to be someone really close to Ford who conversates a lot with Ford and, like, would be willing to entertain the way Ford thinks.
So this is what we know up to now in the world. And it's, I think, one of the reasons why I love this series so much is because I'm emotionally invested in every host that they
focus on. Like, I have emotional battles watching every episode with somebody, like, when one of the hosts gets shot. And I'm just like, why? Why do we have to shoot things?
And then the
pony's being kicked.
I know how you feel about the ponies being kicked, right? And then you have not only these really interesting robots that I can't identify easily as being people. I know that everybody's an actor and they're all people and nobody's a real robot. But in this series,
some of this acting has been top notch.
All the acting has been top notch. Every performance.
It's just the dramaticness of an interaction. Here these beings are and they're acting in their loop and it's like, oh, take away your emotional. And like they just drop. Like they all do it so well.
Yeah.
It is scary.
Yeah. But that's what happens when you get actors of this caliber together. Okay.
When you get good, this is what happens.
When everybody pauses because Ford walks into a room and he stops their loop, like you feel anxiety in those moments about like, but what's about to fucking happen? Like what's going on?
Exactly.
And the reason why I say so much on your people can't die in the park.
No, people can. And I made this distinction with the fiance. I'm like, so hosts can't hurt guests, but nothing was ever said that guests can't hurt guests.
Well, like I said early on.
And the man in black in one of the episodes totally said to one dude who was like, oh man, I want to thank you. I know you're like, this is like your vacation and whatever, but without you, my sister. And he was like, this is my fucking vacation. Talk to me again and I will slit your throat. And I'm like, a man who could say that confidently has clearly done this before.
And remember, that conversation was about what his company does. So he's a known person, like celebrity status outside of the park. Again, because he's on the board of the company that owns this park. And they do all kinds of, I think, medical stuff. I think that the company that they have is a company that uses like the base core of this technology to do like artificial
medical advancements.
Exactly.
Maybe. Like, that would make some sense.
Right? And so that's why, like, this is my vacation. Talk to me again. I'll slit your fucking throat.
I mean, they spend a lot of detail on those fucking eyes, dude.
Just saying.
Like, when they were making that eye, and I was like, ugh.
Yeah, making people. But, so my recommendation to you, Panda, is hurry up and watch episodes 5 and 6, because your world will change, and then you'll be anxious about episode 7. Totally anxious about episode 7. But what I love about this series and why you know, we're talking about it today is because it, to me, is a reminder of what great sci-fi is. Because this is a sci-fi series.
This is. And I, like, the fiancé has been wanting me to watch this forever. And then when I was like, we have to watch it because my sister gave me an assignment, he's like, well, let's go. Because he wants me to get more into sci-fi. And sometimes I'm in the mood for it and sometimes I'm not. And I'm like, this is a great way to, one, introduce people to it, like, kind of indirectly, but not, because clearly Westworld, with like a very highly stylized tech graphic, you could kind of think that they're going to play that game with you. But then you're encountering all of this through the lens of a Western, and then pull it back to the corporation, and you still don't even know what's going on beyond the corporation.
No,
like, there's a whole like shadow thing going on that so may eventually reveal itself.
It's this
or
very
not.
Layered thing, because like I said, you get to the episodes where you realize, yes, you are in fact looking at two different timelines. Then you get to a point where you realize, holy shit, the man in black that's been coming here for 30 years, he's one of these two guys. And the easy assumption would be to be that it was Logan, because Logan was a man in black. But when you get to episode 6 and things start happening, you start to realize, no, it's William. And William has had an awakening, where William has decided, partly because of Dolores, that he is not going to be a mousy, quiet, in the background, just go along to get along, tread water kind of person anymore. And so he has this awakening, and you're like, oh, shit. And that's the moment
just snapped.
That it clicks.
He flipped off the light switch.
Like, the nice guy switch is gone. But at the point that it happens, it's in service of protecting Dolores. But he is on this mission with Dolores and with Lawrence.
Maybe.
And so that's what solidifies the... When you see him later in the town.
Has Dolores said anything about this objective that she's kind of been given from Bernard?
Not publicly out to anybody. So that's all stuff that is within Dolores. Okay? But like, at one point, like, things look like they're about to go south.
Why else would William have the motivation of the maze unless he's heard about the maze at all?
Right.
He must have gotten, he probably gets the inkling from Dolores, since she's the only other person outside of Lawrence, who he has also now encountered later on, to have access to that. Oh, fuck.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, no.
All right.
I'm so mad but happy at the same time.
And so, like, you have these multiple layers of things that are happening that happened in the past that are affecting the future, and you're just seeing them at the same time. And the way that it's cut, it's not blatant until you get into it, really, that you're looking at two different points of time.
Because with in the scene where the man in black is going to get the prisoner from that jail cell with the lady who has a snake tattoo, we'd already seen her several episodes before raiding the town with Hector.
Correct.
So we've already seen the ending of that, and now we're seeing how he gets out and then gets to the town.
Well, that's one way that he gets out and gets to the town.
Right. Because there's many different paths.
And Hector has this otherworldly look on the world as well, like Maeve. So that's why I say Hector is one of Arnold's, Maeve is one of Arnold's, Bernard is one of Arnold's, Dolores is one of Arnold's.
Also, last thing I want to point up, in the opening sequence, we see a lady in a black suit holding a gun. When they're like making the horsey and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I bet that's their way of saying, by the way, eventually Dolores is going to be able to kill somebody and shoot.
You should watch episodes 5 and 6.
I mean, she already shot somebody in 4. She shot the guy who was going to rape her in the barn. Because that voice in her head said, kill him.
Right.
Bam.
Right. But you didn't see it. You heard the shot and we were outside the barn.
No. You see her big, she has freaking Amy Adams syndrome with her fucking wet eyes all the time. She's just staring him down. And, like, he's, like, looking at her because she's holding the gun. But remember, initial protocol, she can't shoot. And, like, this voice, you just hear this voice saying, kill him. And you see her shoot. And that bullet goes straight through that guy's throat. Because then after that, she runs. She gets on the horse. Or else she runs to the house. That guy shoots her. But then it goes back. And then
Seriously, though, 5 and 6, though. 5 and 6, though.
After the show, I'm going to take a massive, like, rage poo. And then I'm going to watch the next 2 episodes. And
yeah. Yeah, because 5 and 6, though.
I'm living right now.
Yeah.
But they show that. They show a lady on that horse, and the only ladies that we've seen is the snake tattoo lady, who we already kind of see where she fits in this. So clearly we're going to see, you know, this change in Dolores. Maybe she'll become a bad guy.
Yeah, what is her name? Armistice, right? The one that's in Hector's gang?
Yeah, the snake tattoo. Yeah, she's in Hector's gang.
Yeah.
With the tattoo. And when they do the saloon robbing, they have weird classical music playing in the background, which doesn't make any sense to me. But it has given me, this series certainly has given me a newfound appreciation for, like, sandbox games, sandbox world. And now I'm sitting there going, I'm like, I can't go in. Now if I ever go back into a GTA, like, I can't just go and shoot cops in the face. Because then I'll just imagine Teddy being shot.
You got to do other stuff.
No,
but,
I can't.
But that's why we're talking about Westworld, just in case you were trying to figure out why. It's because at its core, it is a great sci-fi series. And HBO has done a fantastic job. And it's been a while since I've had a fantastic sci-fi series to watch. J.J. Abrams, your team once again. You've done it again, because this is a Bad Robot production. HBO has already said that they've picked it up for a second season. And unlike Lost, according to JJ and his team, they already have the complete story, you know, for a 5-year run done. So Westworld has a definitive beginning and a definitive end. Unlike Game of Thrones, which is kind of like up in the air and people are making it up as they go along now, because George R.R. couldn't get it done.
Can't write fast enough, and he's gonna die soon, so you better get on that.
So
write like the wind.
So the HBO people are taking some liberties now and just be like, all right, well, this is where we think it probably would have gone if RR had done it, so that's what we're gonna do.
Well, no, they're like, hey, RR, if we did this, how comfortable would you feel of us doing that?
Would it be that far off? And he's just like, I don't know, just give me a check, do whatever. I'm trying to be inspired. So I absolutely love Westworld. I love the fact that it is so rich and deep, and with every episode there's so many little things to look for and big things to look for, that it really is a series that makes me, after I watch an episode, want to go back and rewatch it to see what I didn't see the first go around, because I was just so focused on, like, main story. There's so much in the detail, and there's almost additional stories in the detail, and even though it is set in what feels like a Deadwood series that just feels straight up just a Western world, the way that they take you out and bring you into this technological area and all of the science that is going on behind the scenes and reminding you that you're mostly dealing with these androids and this other structural between when is an artificial intelligence no longer artificial and when is that no longer just anything other than a consciousness, which at that point, does that not then make them a person? Because I don't want to necessarily say human. Like, I like all of these questions that it brings up, and they've just done a really fantastic job of executing it. It is a gorgeous to watch show, and equal rights nudity. So, you know, HBO just checks all the boxes for me on this series. It's intriguing, it's interesting, it's got a lot of action, it's got equal opportunity nudity, and they've got a great cast that just brings the story to life. So I am a massive Westworld fan. I will tell you right now, at this point, I am probably an equal Game of Thrones to Westworld fan. And the fact that HBO has done that and not even halfway through the first season of a new series that they've put out says a lot, I think, about the writing and the approach. And I love it. So if you're like me and you enjoy a great sci-fi series that is deep and not just mumbo jumbo jargon, Westworld is it. Hopefully you have HBO or a friend with a login that you can use. because they're your roommate. Because legally, you don't want to be taking other people's usernames and passwords and watching stuff that you don't pay for. Because that's wrong. But Westworld is so right. What about you, sis? What are your final thoughts on Westworld?
I just want to stop the show so I can get it. I can watch more. I just want more now.
All right, well, then let's wrap this up. Make sure that you check out all of our news, reviews, articles on our website, electricsisterhood.com. You can also get our news and reviews in the Apple News application on your iOS device. Just look for Electric Sisterhood. Hit the little plus button to add us to your favorites. And that way we will show up in your For You section every time we put out new articles on the platform. Subscribe and bookmark our site. Make sure that you check out all the other great sites that are part of our network. That includes B3Crew.com with the No Borders, No Race podcast hosted by our homie KBD. That includes SmashRook.com with the Wednesday night live streams at 9 on Twitch by Hamsterman2049. That includes Phil the Issues Guy, the issuesprogram.com. You can also make sure that you hit up his YouTube channel for Phil's recap and review. Subscribe. Phil is doing recaps right now of Westworld. They are absolutely amazing. So high intensity. I can't even stand it. So definitely check out all of his recap content as well as his new stuff. And last but certainly not least, the homies over at nerdcrave.com talking about games, anime, comics, manga. You know, if nerds are talking about it, the nerds over at Nerd Crave are talking about it too. So make sure that you check out all of our sites, that you bookmark us all, that you engage with us on social. If you have your own theories about Westworld or other games or comics or anime, hit us up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh. You can also hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at ESH News. Share photos of the games that you're playing or let us know if there's a game that you want us to play or review or check out. On any of those channels, shoot us a message and we'll give you a shout out in the podcast when we do. With that, it's time for us to go because Panda has some Westworld to watch. As always, yep. I am Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And until next time, guys,
be classy.